Joe. Thanks.
There you go.
The Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, and your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first reading is from the 9th chapter of Acts. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood up speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias, and he has come to lay his hands on him, so that he may now regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some from his eyes, and his sight was restored. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have done to them, do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them, or the same. If you lend to those whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The Gospel of the Lord.
Be seated. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a friend I'll call Linda who told me she had a dream that came from God. She was stuck in depression and guilt over a difficult divorce and the cost that it had taken on their two sons. She was having a really hard time moving forward with her life. One night, she had this intense dream that showed her that all the things she thought were unforgivable mistakes were actually part of a much greater whole, a much more whole and beautiful life. And she woke up convinced that her whole life, all of it, even the parts that she thought were ruined, rather than being meaningless or ruined, the whole life was deeply meaningful to God. She was beloved by God. She was forgiven by God. And that God wanted her to live forward, trusting in God's love for her. She kept telling me how beautiful that dream was, but she said, it's so hard to describe it. But she trusted that dream. She was convinced that it was true. And she took some positive steps in her life. And day by day, God pulled her out of that pit. She said that that dream from God gave her the courage to turn around from that depression and that self-blame and guilt. Turn around and live in the love of God. And that is a modern-day conversion story. In our scriptures from the book of Acts today, we have two more conversion stories. The first one, of course, is the story of the conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul. We'll get into that. And it would make a fantastic movie scene. It is very dramatic. One of the most famous paintings of Saul shows him knocked off his horse, and he's lying on the ground, shielding his eyes from the brilliance of this light from heaven that literally blinds him. And I was so happy to see in our bulletin today, we actually have a great illustration of this. So if you want to look at the front of your bulletin, there he is. Saul has this dramatic experience of the living Christ, which turns him 180 degrees from his previous path. And what was his previous path? Earlier in the book of Acts, we see Saul holding the cloaks of those who stoned to death a Christian named Stephen. In this passage that we've heard today, we see him heading to Damascus to capture and to imprison Jews who believed in Jesus. Saul of Tarsus was a heresy hunter. This guy was a self-appointed one-man inquisition. No wonder Jesus got his attention in such a striking and powerful way. And Jesus really did get Saul's attention. Later, Saul will use his Roman name, Paul. Later, Paul will go all around the Mediterranean founding churches. The letters attributed to Paul to the churches he founded make up about a third of our New Testament. Saul, who becomes known as Paul, the great Christian missionary, is jailed, beaten, and shipwrecked multiple times. But even that does not stop him from proclaiming the risen Christ, the Son of God, wherever he goes. But this big change from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the missionary doesn't happen all at once. Saul, the Pharisee of Tarsus, does not instantly transform into Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. However, the first part of the change happens fairly quickly. Saul's actions after he was struck blind by the light of God show that he took this seriously as a message from God. He fasts for 3 days. That detail is important. The people who first heard this story would have realized what it meant that he neither ate nor drank for 3 days. Saul was so stunned by this and took this so seriously that he was praying intensely over this experience. Saul takes 3 days to fast and to pray over this strong experience of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, which turns around his idea of who God is. Saul was listening for God's direction instead of continuing to assume that he knew what God wanted. And let's face it, essentially Jesus gave Saul a timeout. Since he was blinded, Saul could not go anywhere without help. But did you notice that there are two conversion stories in this scripture today? And not just one. We also have a conversion story for this follower of Jesus named Ananias, whom God uses to heal Saul of his blindness and bring Saul into the Christian community. Remember Ananias' first reaction to Jesus when Jesus tells him to go heal Saul of Tarsus? Did Ananias say, "Okay, Jesus, sure, you can count on me. I'm on my way to Straight Street to heal my persecutor, just like you told me." No. His first reaction was to say, "Are you kidding me, God? Do you know what this guy has done to us?" Jesus' reaction is reassurance. "Yes, I know what this guy has done, and I know what I am doing too." So Ananias has a conversion. He has a dramatic 180-degree change of heart and mind about whom God can use to build the body of Christ. And he goes to help a man who was his sworn enemy. And then he baptizes Saul of Tarsus into the life of the Spirit and into the community of Christ. And that is a second thing that is interesting about the scripture reading. Saul undergoes a dramatic encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus does not magically instantly transform Saul the persecutor into the great apostle Paul. No. First, Saul fasts and prays for 3 days. Then he is healed of his blindness. Then he is baptized by Ananias. And then he is proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues that are already established. Eventually, Paul will set out on great mission voyages and bring the good news of the risen Christ to people who aren't even Jewish. And this is shocking. Much of the New Testament is about the flack Paul got for proclaiming the crucified and risen Messiah outside of Jewish communities. Originally, many people thought, well, Jesus is the Messiah, and Messiahs come for Jews. After all, Jesus was Jewish. Saul, who becomes Paul, is Jewish. All the original disciples are Jewish. And Paul starts out by preaching the good news in the synagogues to the Jewish people. So Saul's conversion, Saul's change of mind about who God is fairly quick. But Saul's transformation, his metamorphosis, Saul becoming Paul, Paul going out to found churches with pagan people who worship Roman and Greek gods, who had never even heard of the God of Israel, that Paul did not appear instantly. He had to live into that transformation, one prayer and one day at a time. That transformation from Saul the Pharisee who persecutes Christians to Paul the missionary who brings the good news of the risen Christ to all the world, that transformation took time, probably some years, and yet it happened. My friend Linda, who had that dream that convinced her that nothing she had done in her life separated her from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend Linda did not instantly change into the faith-filled woman that I came to know and respect. But she trusted in that dream. She trusted in that conversion experience. And one step at a time, one prayer at a time, one day at a time, Linda lived into the transformation God was working in her. God calls us to be the people that God has made us to be. But it can take a lifetime for us to live into what God intends for us. Jesus Christ transforms us as surely as Jesus Christ converts us. Jesus changed Saul the persecutor into Paul the missionary. Jesus changed Ananias' fear to Ananias' willingness to receive his former enemy as his true brother in Christ. Jesus pulled my friend Linda out of the pit and into a new life. A dramatic conversion, a relatively quick yet very deep change of mind sometimes happens. We do see it in today's scripture, and sometimes maybe we know people who've experienced a powerful insight that reorganized the entire way they look at the world. But transformation is not instant, any more than a caterpillar instantly changes into a butterfly. Transformation is something we live out, one prayer at a time, one smile at a time, one helping hand at a time. Yet transformation is real, it is true, and it is the work and gift of God which enables us to become the people God has always intended us to be. And even though it seems slow in the making, I promise you that Christ is working transformation in us all and through us all, one prayer at a time, one day at a time, all the time. Amen.